it's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today. Got a lot of stuff planned. We're going to talk a little bit about the College World Series. Got some football talk we'll get into in a moment. But I want to welcome into the program one of my favorite guests. Of course, he says he's retired now, but he is from the Post and Courier. They're a wrestling writer and all kinds of good stuff comes from this gentleman, Mr. Mike Mooneyham. Mike, thanks for joining the show.
My pleasure, Rob.
It's great to have you with us today. One of your latest columns was about believability in wrestling. And do you think that's something that is kind of gone out the window?
Absolutely. You know, I watch every week and hope I see something that really, I have a little bit of suspension of disbelief, but hard to find these days. You know, I think that was a crucial element of wrestling back in the day, and it really should be a crucial element of wrestling today. I mean, I know times are different, new generations, new era, but to me, good storytelling and believability made wrestling great, as I stated in my column.
And, you know, I reading your column, one of the first lines was, it talked about, I can't convince, who was it that said in at the very beginning of it, I can't convince them that wrestling is real, but I can convince them that I'm real. Who was it that said that at the beginning of your column?
Oh, yeah, Johnny the Champ Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no more stronger proponent of making wrestling believable than the champ. He was great in the ring. He made you believe. And, you know, sometimes I think he actually believed himself. If you saw any matches between Johnny Valentine and Wahoo McDaniel, oh my gosh, those are etched in my memory forever. Those were brutal bloodbaths, and you know, you believed. That was big. You believed.
Well, and it's not just an issue of blood and everything else. I mean, you can have other things that you can do that can make people believe, hey, this guy's serious. And one of my favorites was Terry Funk. I always thought that Terry Funk going to the ring was one of the craziest men on the planet, and you never knew what he was going to do. I mean, even when I guess I became the quote-unquote smart fan, you're still watching Terry Funk thinking he may hurt somebody.
Absolutely, and that's what made it so good. You know, you didn't know. It was that it was the element of unpredictability, that spontaneity, that a lot of times the matches sort of followed the cheers and boos of the fans. You know, the fans sometimes reacted differently, and then the wrestlers would change up midstream. And there was no script from A to Z to follow. The matches were a product of the fans' emotions. And like I said, that's largely missing in today's product.
You know, the recent programs we have on television here, and what I mean is, like, it's almost like the throwback type thing with the A&E biographies. It seems like, and even with the stuff with Dark Side of the Ring, which is a more, I guess, a darker side of it, but it seems like the old school stuff hits harder and still draws more fans than the current product. Would you agree?
I agree 100%. The promotions only wish they had guys like that still in the business today, and that's why fans crave that stuff. Even newer fans to the business, they see these documentaries and bios of, you know, the greats of yesteryear, and they say, "Gosh, that stuff looks so good." You can see the difference. You know, you watch a 3-minute clip, and you say, "We don't see that stuff today." But really, you had to be in the moment. And I can tell you, having followed the business for more than 50 years, there's no comparison. That stuff was so, so good back then.
Do you think that a lot of those stories in the A&E series kind of really slanted to the WWE narrative?
I think so, a little bit, yeah. But, you know, it still displays how much star power those guys had. And apparently they still have. People today, the stars of today, they don't have that magnetic quality, that believability that the wrestlers, and I'm not going back to the 60s or 70s, I'm talking about through, you know, the Attitude Era. The business was different then as well, but you can see how the ratings were. Guys back then were stars. You know, they could walk into an airport and you could say, "Wow, I know him," or that guy really looks special. You know, a lot of the stars today, they could walk in 100 airports and have very few people recognize them.
Well, but in fairness, you know, you don't have guys that are the size of, say, Andre the Giant or even Hulk Hogan, who was a very big guy in his own right. I mean, a lot of these guys are smaller guys. I mean, if you look at, you know, Seth Rollins right now, I mean, he's not the biggest guy on the planet, but he could go through an airport. But, I mean, I think that may be just the changing of the business and the fact that we don't have as big of guys anymore. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. And I'm not really referring to as much to size as really magnetism and charisma. You know, Ric Flair wasn't a big guy, but certainly if he walked through an airport, you know, everyone's going to recognize him. Even Bret Hart. You know, we came to that generation where the smaller guys were big time stars too. Look at Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. The list goes on and on. But they just exuded some special type of magnetism and charisma. And I mean, that's why we still watch these documentaries today and all. It's just a different business. And, you know, I know we've had the pandemic, no live crowds for a while. I'll really be anxious to see how these guys, how the fans respond to wrestling and post-pandemic era.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. And I was actually going to ask you about that in a little bit, but let's move on here for a quick second though. You know, the era you were talking about with the Attitude Era up until then, do you think that social media possibly was kind of the death nail for the business? Because, you know, it's great to, I follow you on Twitter at By Mike Mooneyham, and everybody else should too, with some of the great retro photos and things that you put out. But it's, you don't have the element of a surprise anymore because of social media. Someone can put out a story in seconds from Twitter and just kind of ruin everything. I mean, do you think that the effect of social media has kind of killed the business a little bit?
Oh, definitely. You know, I think social media is good in the fact that everybody knows everything that's happening. But, it does kill that that spontaneity that exists, you know, and years ago. I can't imagine if we had social media back in the 70s and everyone was telling, you know, oh, he's wrestling here tonight, and that was the same match as last night, and that's the same match in two nights.
Or Ric Flair stories from different Marriotts.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, how many of these wrestlers would have survived the social media onslaught? It would have changed the course of wrestling for sure.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. Yes, it's made a big difference.
We had Rhea Ripley on the show a couple of weeks ago, and just talking with her and the confidence that she exudes, do you think that this is almost like a new era for women's wrestling with Ripley and Charlotte and Sasha Banks and Bayley? I mean, it seems like I get up more for the women's matches now, and growing up, I didn't have a lot of them to see, but
no.
These women can get after it.
They really do. They're a highlight of the show for me and many other people. I mean, the women's division it's become, you know, maybe one of the most enjoyable things on the show today, because these gals are so talented and physically as good as the men, I would say. It's been really a bright spot for WWE, AEW, for all the major promotions.
Right.
And Charlotte Flair, I mean, she is spectacular. She really is. I might be a little biased, but
I believe everything she says when she walks. And it's like, and I'm, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm an older guy now, and it's like, whatever she says when she goes to the ring, I completely believe it. It's just weird. I know that sounds silly, but she has that believability to her, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's genetics as well. But she has really exceeded my expectations. I know Rick used to tell me all the time when she was first getting involved in the business, said, "Mike, she's tremendous. She's going to be such a big star." And you know, I've known Ashley for practically all of her life, and I knew she was a great athlete. You know, great gymnast, volleyball, cheerleader, all that stuff. But you know, who would have thunk? I mean, I knew she would probably be good if she got in the ring, and you know, Rick could teach her the ropes, and she had natural talent. But man, oh man, did I think she was going to be like another version of her dad? You know, it's remarkable. She is just so good, and not only, you know, with her ring work, but she can talk. You know,
yeah.
I won't say anybody can talk like to the level of her dad. I mean, that's you know, it's a far bridge to cross, but. Man, she's good. She's good on the mic. She's great in the ring. She is the total package in women's wrestling.
Most certainly is. And I, as you said, I look forward to that every week. Mike Mooneyham from the Post and Courier joins us. Follow him on Twitter at @ByMikeMooneyham. A couple more questions before we get you out of here.
Sure.
The series that they had on A&E with the WWE Treasures, I find myself staying up late to watch that just because of some of the stuff that they did there. And like, they had the kind of the big ticket items with Andre the Giant and Ric Flair's robe and stuff like that. But I'm enamored with Jake the Snake and Greg the Hammer Valentine and all that. I mean, just a great series.
Isn't that a terrific series?
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect when I first heard about it, but I watched just about every one of them. Those were really, really good shows. And I especially liked the 2-hour special with Rick's robe. That was quite a journey.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think maybe I should have asked him for a robe back then. You know,
he probably would have gave you one. Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. And you know, that's funny. Having followed the business for 50 years, I never really was a collector. I mean, you know, I have photos, I have programs, I have stuff like that. But as far as personal wrestlers, personal memorabilia, no, I really don't have it, and God knows I could have.
I could have
probably collected quite a bit along the way. But you know, when you're friends with these guys and things, you don't say, "Well, you know, can I have this or you want that?" That just wasn't even an afterthought.
Well, that was my next question. If you had a cherished piece of wrestling memorabilia, like you know, I think about. I know you wrote a lot of stuff about, what was it called, the Charleston Hall? Is that what it was called, where they had you know, great matches down in Charleston. I didn't know
County Hall.
Yeah, County Hall.
County Hall.
I was thinking, I was like, it wouldn't surprise me if Mike Mooneyham had the bell or something from those great events. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know, but I mean, I know you spent a lot of time covering stuff down there, and
I did. You know, I did, and I didn't even collect the poster. I had them. You know, I would have access to posters, all of that stuff, because I was. You know, I've been good friends with Henry Marcus, a promoter.
Right.
But you know what? I'll tell you. I'll be honest. I wouldn't trade the peacock robe, the butterfly robe. I wouldn't trade any of that for the relationships I've had in wrestling with all of these great people over the years.
Well,
absolutely would not.
I completely understand that from the journalistic perspective, but I'm just a little bit disappointed in you for the first time, Mike, because man, you could have had some of those great posters, and I think about stuff like that, and I would literally have those all over everywhere if I could have some of those, because
you know, if I could go back 50 years, 40 years, whatever, and see, but then again, you know. I would probably like to have them as a memory, but I've got that memory etched in my mind forever.
Right.
You know, I can see the posters. I can see the belts that were, you know, a foot away from me. I can see it. I can feel it. I can, it's just, I would never, I will say this, I would never sell anything. I would never, for monetary value, no, I would keep it. I was a baseball card collector because I love baseball and football back there in the 60s and when I was a kid. And I do have those, you know, just because I love baseball cards. I love the little, you know, nickel pack with the gum in between. And so I do have those, and I do have wrestling programs I collected over the years and photos I took. I used to be a photographer at ringside for a lot of the shows, and I do have that stuff, and that's very valuable. I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Well, but, you know, kicking back to that for a second, 50 years ago, if you would have been asking some of these guys for some of this stuff, they probably wouldn't, you wouldn't have built that kind of relationship with them. They wouldn't have looked at you as somebody that was serious. They would have looked at you as a fan that should be sitting in the second row, right?
Exactly. And that even goes up to recent times. I mean, it's just not something I would do. And I know I see all these people with, you know, that have paid thousands of dollars for all of this wrestling stuff. And that's great. That's what they enjoy. You know, good for them. But never was a collector.
All right.
I think I collected most of the memories in my head. And that's why I write every week. I continue to write too.
I've seen some of the pictures that you put out on Twitter and on Facebook, and just some of the pictures you have with some guys, and the fact that you can get Jim Cornette to tweet back at you and it not be him cutting a promo on you, just saying how cool of a guy you are, that's pretty impressive in my mind anyway.
Well, you know, it's the guys I grew up with in the business and have been friends, not, just wrestling stars, but friends of mine. And can't trade that.
All right, my final question for you this afternoon. I put out for questions for you, and one great question came up, and they wanted to know, and had several actually send me this, what was the most believable tag team? You know, because we talk about the single stars that can, that, you know, would make you think, okay, this guy is completely with it.
We
mentioned Terry Funk earlier, but
What's
the most believable tough guy tag team that that you've covered in your 50 years doing with the business?
I don't even have to think about it. And let me preface it by saying the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, Gene, Lars, Ole, one of the greatest teams ever, and certainly believable and certainly feared. But to me, and this goes back to my very first live show at County Hall, which we just mentioned, back in 1964, the Masked Bolos, who most people will remember them as the Masked Assassins. Those guys, Cody Hamilton and Tom Ernesto behind the hoods, were probably the two most believable as far as the tag team. Like I said, Johnny Valentine, he was a pinnacle. But as far as tag teams go, the Assassins were as believable as any team you would ever see.
Wow.
From their work in the ring to their interviews, and their interviews were unlike most back there, back then in the, you know, in that period of wrestling. They didn't scream. They didn't shout. It was like psychological interviews, sort of like Jake Roberts would do in later years. But they would talk you into the building because you wanted to see those evil mask guys get beaten. And articulate interviews. Oh, they were the top. And I think if you asked Jim Ross, he would say the same thing. I know Jim told me that when he used, back in Oklahoma, when he was a kid, he used to go to his grandmother's on Saturday nights to watch wrestling, and it would come on late. He said those guys scared me to death. I had nightmares, you know, watching those two masked guys.
Well, I'm gonna have to figure out some of that, because I can honestly say I haven't seen much of that, and I guess it's just It was a little bit before my time, but now I got to go and look. You know, I remember you were talking about guys under the hood. You know, Mr. Wrestling, too, I read something that he would wear his mask into the shower and then into the car and then and then be gone.
Yeah,
I mean, that's amazing, right?
Look, I passed him on interstate years ago, and I knew exactly who it was. He was still wearing a mask. You know, one time I saw him coming back from Florida. It was some part of Georgia, I think, and you know, it was a remote town, and I was on the interstate driving, and I looked down, and there's number two pumping his gas with a mask. Still had his mask on. He was probably 40, 50 miles from the town he had wrestled in, because this was really a remote area. So, it's crazy. But, you know, I did a column a long time ago, When Masked Men Were Masked Men, and we haven't had really mask guys haven't had any influence in the business in probably 20, 25 years. But back in the day, those were, as that era of true believers. I mean, nobody knew who it was. It was, you thought there was some air of evil and terror and horror. And these guys were just, they were heat magnets. Yeah, they were the guys were main eventers back then. You know, if you saw a masked guy today, he's probably a jobber doing a opening match. But in the day, those guys were main eventers, most of them.
Yeah, good stuff there. I mean, I just think about that, and I'm like, wow, crazy stuff when you look at the business now from where it was before. But Mike Mooneyham's columns on with the Post and Courier, you should go and check those out. And they can follow you on Twitter as well, right, Mike?
Yeah, right, on Twitter. On Facebook, on Instagram, column every weekend in the Post and Courier. Just go online, and you know, if you're in Charleston, probably subscribe to it and get the paper version.
That's I do the digital version, so I can catch your stuff every week. So
yeah, well, you know, actually, the digital version, you know, normally my stuff's pretty long, right? And you get much more of the story on the digital version than you would in the, you know, hard copy newspaper copy, because, you know, we only got so much space in newspapers, and the digital, you can go all out, read the whole thing.
It's great stuff. It's part of my reading every week, and it makes me feel like I'm still young, man, reading your columns. So thank you so much for that, Mike.
I try to keep that old school torch burning, man.
I hear you on that, and you know, I want to bring you on but at the start of football season, man. We talk a little Clemson football, too. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we're getting there pretty fast. I mean,
certainly
won't be long.
It's going to be great, Mike. All right, Mike, thank you so much for joining the show, buddy. I appreciate it, as always.
Thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure.
All right, there you go. Mike Mooneyham from the Post and Courier joining us today. Some of the comments over on the in the chat room. Blake likes the biographies. I think they're great. Good stuff there. They're talking about the officially licensed WWF toys. I remember, like, the dolls. I want to say dolls, but it was like they were like a big plush. I think I had an Ultimate Warrior one. And I was upset because I wanted the Hulk Hogan one, but my mom didn't know the difference. She got me the Ultimate Warrior, and it's like, all right, that'll be good enough. Yeah, I still wish I had that. I could give that to my kids now, and they'd be like, yeah, whatever. My daughter likes, she has like one of the John Cena spinner belts. We got her one of those. She liked that when we took her to the live show. But the merchandise is just crazy. Like, I remember the WWE lunchboxes or WWF lunchboxes. Those were cool, too. So, yeah, there was just so many cool things that were out there that in the old school era that were just amazing. Some other comments. Tom wants to know, did I watch Zack Ryder's Hoski? Yeah. Zack Ryder is what I liked about his stuff was it was all original. It's a shame he got released. He should have been given more time, in my opinion. But, you know, you never can tell with what's going on with the WWE, man. You just can't. Blake says, he was talking about the unlicensed toys. Those were cool. Jerome says he misses AJ Lee. Our intern, Mr. Savage College Football, is an AJ Lee mark. He loves some AJ Lee stuff there. Jerome says, remember when Trump shaved Vince McMahon's head? Yeah, I do. Told him, slow the hell down. And that's how he got Braun Strowman's attention. Brock Lesnar didn't really care how big you are. He can get your attention. He's a former UFC heavyweight champion. He's not scared of anybody that's going to step into a WWE ring with him. Okay? But you see stuff like that, and that's believable. Will Brock Lesnar snap? That's not that far-fetched. Someone gets on his nerves a little bit. Brock Lesnar could snap. That's why they pay him a lot of money. Whereas you've got other guys now where it's like, can't really get into that. Jimmy says, got really hooked watching Gordon Solie on Saturday nights. The Florida wrestling stuff was great. You're right about that, too. Jerome says, Jeff Hardy, when I was a kid, how the hell did his body hold up? I don't know. Jeff Hardy is still wrestling. And some of the stuff that he did, not happening, man. Not happening. Tom's a Jeff Hardy guy, too. That's a guy who wasn't the biggest guy, but you appreciated what he did because he would put his body completely on the line to try to win a match. Try to win a match. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, so we'll take some WWE calls if you want. 803-978-1832. I've got a couple of things we got to get into today, including the College World Series last night. A couple of things that were kind of silly that happened with that. Also, Jalen Rose has been called out for something. We'll talk about that. And I got a couple other little things here, too, that we'll get into. This is The Rundown. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Facts with a sprinkle of opinion. The Rundown with Rob, weekdays at 3 on Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Welcome back into The Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. We're talking a little bit of WWE. We got some football stuff, college baseball, all of that here on today's show. Scott, what do you have for the program, man?
Yeah, Rob, I went to WrestleMania 27 in the old Georgia Dome.
Now, that's cool.
But we saw the main event was The Miz versus John Cena, and got to see The Undertaker versus Triple H.
Okay, the Miz versus John Cena is not cool, but Undertaker versus Triple H.
Undertaker, Triple H. Yeah, very cool. But I just don't think they have the talent on the roster anymore. I mean, to make you want to watch Raw. You know, Monday Night Raw lasts 3 hours, and it's almost a copy of the week before now. You know, it's more of a television show than it is an event.
You know, but it just seems like I'm going to they're having a big super show here August 15th. And I'm going to that show, but I'm going because I just grew up with, if the WWE was coming to town, you went, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you had the opportunity to see some of your favorite folks. So I'll sit through probably 5 garbage matches to see Bobby Lashley wrestle, or to see Charlotte Flair wrestle, or Rhea Ripley, or one of those. But I know I'm going to have to sit through five matches that are just going to be terrible, though.
Yeah, I want to see Bobby Lashley actually go up against, Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, that would be great if they went up against Brock. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they can't bring back CM Punk.
Yeah, because,
They have the money to pay him.
Oh, yeah, the money's not the problem.
Yeah, he'd be the biggest name on the card.
Yeah.
But there just seems like there's only a couple of top guys, and just nobody else can get to that level right now.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, man, and I don't know if it'll ever come back, but it definitely sticks with me a little bit there when I think, all right, I could have some great wrestling like we used to have, but not so much now. It's just kind of
fun. Yeah, I mean, because I grew up on watching the NWA on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, didn't we all?
And seeing the Four Horsemen and Magnum TA and Chief Wahoo McDaniel, and we don't have that anymore, you know.
We don't have that anymore.
But my daughter likes wrestling, and we've been we've gone to a couple of the Raw shows and gone to a couple of house shows where you could buy tickets and go back and meet. We actually got to meet the Big Show.
That's kind of cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
But you would think they would have some a little more. They've got to create another big name, and I don't know if they can. I don't know if they're doing that right now.
Hey, Scott, I appreciate you joining the show, man. Thank you so much. All right, there you go. Scott joining the program. We did get a text from our show intern who doesn't show up anymore. Mr. Savage College Football says, bring back the WWE ice cream bars. And, of course, says he's listening to the show. He wouldn't watch WrestleMania 3, ladies and gentlemen, but he would watch Raw with AJ Lee on it. Now, AJ Lee's awesome, but you've got to watch WrestleMania 3, man. That's why he's an intern. Anyway, shout out to Mr. Savage College Football for listening to the show today. All right, South Carolina got some big recruits, and we'll talk about that for just a minute here. The big thing with this is I'm looking up their I've got their names here. Hold on just a second, because I had them listed earlier. And it's basically, we're at a point now where, what was the first one? It's Ryan, it's a big four-star offensive lineman from Pennsylvania. Who is, let's get his name, make sure I've got it right here. Oh, Ryan Brubaker, that's his name. All right, it's a big four-star offensive line recruit. Now, here's the thing with that. Shane Beamer, I think his class is rated like in the top 30 now on the 247 Sports composite. And we were talking a little bit about that during the break. You know, it's, you know, we talk about culture change and things like that. And I know there are going to be people that tell me, you know, well, Will Muschamp recruited better. Yeah, I get that. But the warm, fuzzy things, and that's what I'm talking about. The warm, fuzzy feelings that you get from Shane Beamer and what he's doing there. That's just great. It's just great. And literally, they talk about culture, but he's starting to bring in talent. I don't know if Ryan Brubaker is going to be a guy that is going to make a difference. He's rated as the number 23 offensive tackle per 247 Sports composite, and he may be worth it. He may be great. You got to have consistency on the recruiting front, though, but as Tom tells me, 26th in the recruiting rankings right now. And I understand that it's June, and July is tomorrow, and you've got time and all that. I get that. But just the fact that they're jumping in now. They've had, what, 9 commitments? I think it is in the past 9 days. I think I read that in the state newspaper this morning. If you're a South Carolina fan, and a lot of you aren't paying attention, a lot of people don't, to the recruiting thing. But you can definitely make an argument that this recruiting class that's coming up for this, the current recruiting class could be the building blocks where 3 years down the road, we're talking about maybe South Carolina getting to a point where they're competitive in the SEC East again. And we're not just talking about Georgia and how Georgia, let's just be honest, they only have to play Florida every year. The rest of the East is pretty much mediocre at best. That's why I laugh at Georgia fans. Oh, we play a tough schedule. No, you don't. You absolutely don't. Your schedule is hot dog water. It really is. You don't play the schedule that an Ole Miss plays, where they've got LSU and Auburn and Alabama and Texas A&M. You don't play that schedule. So just stop with that nonsense. But wouldn't it be great if you're a South Carolina fan and you're that team that could make it where, come Halloween, we're looking at, all right, there's 3 teams that could win the SEC East and have a legitimate shot. And literally November is championship month. Can you win enough games where, hey, you can send Georgia home or you can send Florida home? If you're a South Carolina fan, that's what you want. Then you roll the dice and figure out what you've got in the SEC championship game. You start going to that game, then people start paying attention to you. So maybe the pieces are starting to be put together for South Carolina. I don't know how a lot of these young men will play until they get to the point where they're on the field. But, you know, I can tell you this. If you want to win SEC titles and win your division and stuff like that, you need high-ranked recruiting classes. That's just a fact. Jerome with a great comment online. Comment of the day. UGA is good, but they should be great with that talent. You're absolutely right. 803-978-9797. 1-832-803-9788, 1-832. Quick break. When we come back, I've got two topics that have really hit me in the face. I want to share those with you as we wrap up the rundown this afternoon. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Appreciate Mike Mooneyham from the Post and Courier joining us today, talking a little wrestling here this afternoon. I've got a couple things I got. I've only got, what, not much time here before we get to my buddy Lawton Swan.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
All right, Swan. Fine. You're going to get your time. Give me my last little bit here, brother. All right, so last night, College World Series, Vanderbilt comes into it as the villain anyway in some eyes because their pitching staff got completely reset. With the whole thing that happened with NC State, disaster, you know, that's just the way that it is. But they come out last night, they win 8-2 over Mississippi State. Mississippi State has to stave off elimination tonight if they want to win, get another spot in the college, another game in the College World Series. So, according to a report from ESPN's Clinton Yates, parents of Vanderbilt's players were subjected to racial slurs. He wrote on Twitter, "Vandy parents at the stadiums last night were subjected to racial slurs during the game, and no one was hurt, but the incident was obviously unacceptable and inappropriate." Now, the first thing that's going to come out of everyone's mouth is, "This did not happen." That's the first thing that you'll hear from everyone. Let me explain something to you. I am no crusader, but if I'm at a sporting event and you are an idiot and you decide, hey, I'm going to run my mouth and say racial slurs, especially if my children were there, I'm going to say something to you. All right? But this story's big enough where the athletics director at Vanderbilt had to put out a statement saying, Candace Story Lee says, "I'm deeply troubled that some of our student-athletes were subjected to racist slurs during last night's game. This is absolutely unacceptable and disgraceful behavior, and such hateful language has no place anywhere in our society." She's absolutely right. The people that were responding to several different reports on the internet with, "Oh, I don't believe this happened," you're out of your mind. You think stuff like that doesn't happen? You're living in a bubble. Get out of it. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous in a championship setting that you can't keep your mouth shut. Silly. Then we also have Jalen Rose, who comes out and said something stupid too. He said Kevin Love made Team USA's basketball team because he's a white guy. Are you serious? Are you serious? Look, you can make an argument that Kevin Love is a guy that probably, if you look at him, okay, in his prime, he was a walking double-double that could shoot the three. He was great. But when I look at Team USA, I don't have a problem with anybody that's on this team. All right, everybody there is a heck of an athlete, heck of a player. Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Bradley Beal, right on up and down the line. But there's guys on here that you can make an argument that do they really need to be there? Jeremiah Grant, who is a good player, but Kevin Love in his time has been really great. Kevin Love shoots like almost 40% from three-point land. That's just the way that it is. But Jalen Rose had to say, "Kevin Love is on the team because of tokenism. Don't be scared to make an all-black team representing the United States of America. I'm disappointed by that. Anybody that watched the league this year knows that Kevin Love did not have a stellar season, was not the best player on his team, and did not necessarily deserve to be on the squad." Well, you, sir, don't know much about international basketball because guys that can rebound and shoot the three and are, you know, 7 foot tall like Kevin Love is, those are the kind of guys that dominate in international basketball. And by the way, he has international basketball experience. Holy moly, man. Stop looking at it from that perspective. Here's a thought. Do you think that Greg Popovich, who is loved by every NBA player from LeBron James to Devin Booker, you name it, is going to be told, hey, you have to take a white guy on your team. First of all, who the hell is going to tell him that? Greg Popovich picked the team that he wanted, and he thought that Kevin Love should do would do well on it. And you know what? Shut your mouth, Jalen Rose. They're going to go win an Olympic gold medal. Ridiculous. Not everything has to be about that. You think Kevin Love can't play? Are you out of your mind? You can't just judge it by this season anyway. And by the way, several people opted out. Lots of players opted out. Steph Curry didn't want to play. And I'm not mocking him for that. They had a long season. So getting a group of guys together that could do some stuff is hard. But everything has to center around, oh, well, they put Kevin Love there because he's a white guy. Stop it. And he talked about Christian Laettner back on the Dream Team. They put Christian Laettner on the team because he was a white. No! You can make an argument that Shaquille O'Neal should have been there, but if you go back and look at it, when Laettner squared off with O'Neal, Laettner got the better of it, and I can't stand Christian Laettner. Now, to this day. It's ridiculous. So two stories there that kind of hit me in the face a little bit. The people that were making the racist comments at the College World Series, I hope you stub your toe. That's the easiest thing I can say without sounding silly. Jimmy talks about Scottie Pippen. Yeah, Scottie Pippen said Phil Jackson's a racist. Are you? I laugh so openly at that. Phil Jackson's a racist. Okay. You would have had a better, I would have believed you more if you would have told me that Dennis Rodman's a racist or Michael Jordan. I would have. Anybody else on that team other than Phil Jackson, I might have been like, all right, maybe Scottie's got something that I don't know. Ridiculous. All right, Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk is next. He is the czar of Clemson Sports.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Yeah, don't forget the Hawks tonight. They will be playing for their lives tonight because if they get behind 3-1 to the Bucks, that series is over. Of course, in Atlanta, Eastern Conference Finals. America's team last night, the Phoenix Suns, could not hold on against the LA Clippers. The NBA wants some more ratings, so let's have another game in the Western Conference Finals. That's basically what that boils down to. Don't worry, America's team will close it out. They will advance to the NBA Finals. Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining the show. We appreciate it. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Wes Bryan from the ACC Digital Network joins us. We're going to talk some football tomorrow. Thanks for checking out the Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400.